This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
And I appreciate your question.
Really appreciate the voice of that last person. Did you know who that was, Mark?
I didn't hear it. Play it again.
And I appreciate your question.
I was looking down.
Preparing for the Blackhawks question still?
Let's get on with it.
Okay, sorry. No funny games. Stop the grab ass. How surprising
no
is the news that the local guy and Bears fan favorite, Jack Sanborn, the Jackhammer, is signing a one-year contract with Dallas Cowboys?
The Sandman is the way the Dallas Morning News referred to him. The Sandman.
You know what this is, right?
Yes, I do know what this
Metallica,
is.
Metallica, Sandman.
Okay. I don't know what this is.
I just wanted to make sure it was acknowledged.
We're
I wasn't
off to
sure.
Never Neverland.
To Never Neverland.
Yeah! Say your prayers!
Until the Sandman has come.
Till the Sandman has come!
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Is this show back on the rails now?
Sleep with water!
Ripping your pillow down!
Let's go!
Good Friday morning, Chicago. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, broadcasting live from The Score's Hyundai Studio. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Mark Grody's back for more. After that great performance yesterday, what nonsense was that? Welcome back.
They called us in for an encore, nonetheless.
Nonetheless.
They wanted more. I am sorry, listening back to that, I apologize.
That was fun.
That I ever doubted that you would have known a band that's been around for 40 years.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Are you saying that I'm old?
No, I mean, that's what
aging.
I'm saying. Like, it would be ridiculous to think that, being that Metallica is old.
I'm a man for all seasons. That's not my first choice of music.
I understand that.
Maybe not even my first three.
You know it if it comes on the radio, if it's in the background. It's like,
it's in the background.
Yeah, I know you're not a headbanger.
Not a big headbanger. Yeah, no, never have been, really.
You need it light and easy. You want to understand the lyrics. You want to hear the lyrics of a nice slow country song.
That don't have to be a slow country song. I like the lyrics of a country song.
A little upbeat.
Country music's a little bit about redemption, about, you know, good stories to tell, things like that.
Getting tipsy in the club. You
is
know?
That right?
That's what it's all about.
You usually have a pickup truck, a dog, and a beer. Something like that. Something like that. That's good old country music.
David Haw lifestyle.
Anyway, but what are we talking about this for? There's so much to get to today, Grody.
Yes.
I don't even know where to start. These are the days where you're like, okay, where do you want to start? Because you could pick one, you can be right, and you could be wrong, and you would be right.
Yeah, good luck then, Haw. Where are you going to start?
I think we're starting Bulls.
Bulls.
Because we heard Chuck Swirsky coming in, and they won again, 116-110 over the Nets. Kobe White, 31 points. First four-game winning streak of the season. That's why we're starting there. When something happens that hasn't happened all season long, I think that tells you that's the biggest news of the day.
Yeah, it is. Are they heading in the right direction or the wrong direction? That said, the Bulls are now 28-38.
I'm glad you
with
asked.
Said four-game winning streak for
why,
the Bulls.
Why would that be the wrong direction?
Well, because the Bulls are trying to, or about next season, they're about the future, they're about draft picks, like the team they played last night, which holy indifference, even though they were up 10 heading into the fourth quarter, they're like, hold on, we got to put the brakes on this Bulls game.
I know, but did you also watch and internalize? There was a lot to digest yesterday in the sports world. Did you see Cooper Flagg grasp his ankle, go down writhing in pain, and leave the game after only 15 minutes,
yes,
I believe?
Of course. Which could destroy the entire NCAA tournament, because that's what people are like, okay, time to watch this flag.
Forget about the NCAA tournament for a moment, but Cooper Flagg going down could also wreck some people's entirety in terms of their hopes and the way they have planned this season to go.
Cooper, he just came down, sprained his ankle. X-rays were negative, which is great. We just have to understand there's going to be swelling and to see how he recovers and how he goes from there.
Duke coach John Shire, Cooper Flagg may not play the rest of the ACC tournament. He may be compromised for the NCAA tournament. What that does, though, Mark, is remind you just how tenuous it is to bank all of your hopes and dreams on an 18-year-old who is prone to injury. Not prone to injury, but susceptible to an injury. Any one player.
Mm-hmm. Based on what we just heard on that injury, does that particular injury scare you? Or are you just saying the history of injuries? Because I don't think that changes the damn thing in terms of the way teams are looking at Cooper Flagg. If he has that same injury on draft day, I still think that he is the number one overall pick 10 times out of 10.
I am not saying that he is injury prone. I'm not even saying that injury is going to last into and affect their ability to get to the Final Four. What I'm saying is that when you invest all of your hope about this season, and you wrap, if you make it a singular purpose to lose for a 6% chance to get Cooper Flagg, net 6% chance is then also affected by how healthy he will be once you get that 6% chance. You're sacrificing a lot. You are changing your whole mindset about an organization, and it could go away as quickly as that.
That would be such a bummer for whoever the team is, for Cooper Flagg,
just
and for anybody watching. But yeah,
just
a reminder. That is worst case scenario to hear that guy being hurt.
Bulls, though, 31 points from Kobe White.
Fourth 30-point game of the year.
Kevin Huerter, 18-9. Trey Jones, the indispensable Trey Jones, 18 points, 7 boards, 6 assists. They do this all without Josh Giddey, who is having quite the second half of the season. And Julian Phillips, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Who knew?
Career high.
Who knew?
Career high for Julian Phillips.
So good to hear Chuck Swirsky so happy. Good
yes.
to see the Bulls win 4 in a row. Now they go on the road for a little bit, and we'll see how
six
they handle
games, man.
Tough road trip.
Is there a circus in town? No,
tough,
there's no more circuses.
Tough road trip. No, I don't think that's a circus.
That's your second job. What's going on at the United Center? What's happening?
They've got some concerts this weekend.
Is that what it is?
There's always something going on there.
You're presenting those concerts.
I'm not presenting those concerts. There's always something going on there. And when there isn't something going on there, the atrium is always full of tourists coming in to take pictures of the Jordan statue.
Is that atrium open 24-7? Like, can people just come in just the way they used to be able to do when it was outside?
I don't think
obviously.
It's 24-7.
Okay.
There was a day where it wasn't even open at all, and I saw this tourist, and clearly he was trying to get in the atrium, mm-hmm. and he had the camera, and he was trying to take a picture of the statue through the...
Oh, yeah, with the glare.
With the glare, yeah. And then I let him in.
That was very... You're
I
a good Haw. David Haw is the host of the United Center.
No.
That is so perfect. Hi, I'm David Haw. Come on in. Morning. Come on in. Let me show you the basketball court. It's great. TV studio right here.
I was talking
to him. I do a show in the morning and the score, too. Come on in.
I was talking to him, and I said, what are you looking for? He said, I just want a picture of the Jordan statue. And I said, okay. And he was going to take a selfie, and I was early, so I got... do you want me to take a picture? So
I took his picture in front of the Jordan statue.
You're awesome, man.
And said, all right.
I have to say this. The Jordan statue is cool every time I see the Jordan statue.
It really is.
I witnessed the 90s Bulls and all of that. When did the statue go up? In 97 or something like that? I'd have to look that up. But it's cool. It's awesome. I feel the Jordan statue.
And it's a draw.
It's still a draw, and it should be.
And if people come to see it, you should allow them to experience it and have a picture taken with it in front of it.
By David Hall.
Well, I don't know if that would be like me. But I didn't want that guy to get back on the plane and say, those people from Chicago were mean.
See, that is very thoughtful of you. That you thought that through that deeply. Makes you
okay,
good people,
okay. David. But on to DePaul. Did you watch that game?
Oh, my God.
Double overtime.
Woo! David, I felt something watching DePaul basketball for the first time since I think the 90s, man. It was a wild 85-81 loss, unfortunately, in double overtime to the number two seed Creighton. Creighton really, really good. They were up 17, was DePaul early, and then all sorts of wild moments in the first and second overtimes in this game. So I'm not mad at DePaul. I actually had a blast. I felt really good. It felt so good to be interested in a college basketball game and interested in the team that I grew up watching. And look, I've always said, I have earned a spot on the DePaul bandwagon. If they are ever legitimately good again, I will slide right back in on that bandwagon. Last night was fun to watch.
Plenty of room available. I mean, it's not you don't have a lot of people who are paying that close of attention to DePaul. We talked to Chris Holtman yesterday, and then they go out and they play that well. They had a 17-point lead on Creighton. Mm. And at that point, you're like, oh, my gosh, they're going to be playing Friday night at the Garden. A team that won three games a year ago was on the verge of getting to the Big East semifinal. And Creighton did a great job. Give them credit. They hit some big shots. The kid hit a three-pointer from the logo.
Step back.
Essentially to send it into overtime.
Oof.
And DePaul falls just short. But there was a hot minute there. You're right that around Chicago, the Bulls were on and DePaul was on, and DePaul was the better option. And it felt like 1982.
Totally, because that was, for all you youngsters, that was in 1982 when Juwan Oldham was playing for the Bulls and Quentin Daly and all those cats.
Pre-Jordan Bulls. DePaul was a bigger draw.
DePaul, believe it or not, at the old Rosemont Horizon, now Allstate Arena, was a difficult ticket to get.
Well,
but, yeah,
go ahead. It was a tough one because the Big East tournament continues. The Big Ten tournament goes on. Maryland plays Illinois tonight. And, you know, I'm saying all this because college basketball is right in front of us. I don't know if you know this or not, Mark, because you're immersed in Beardom, but Selection Sunday is Sunday.
I'm excited about it, actually. You know what? I have done a turn on the NCAA tournament. I don't know if you know where I have stood on the tournament through the years.
On the outside looking in.
Kinda. Maybe
on the periphery.
Maybe because it's DePaul. Maybe because I think people make such a big deal out of it. Maybe it's because it's not my favorite. But I've changed. I am looking forward to the NCAA tournament. I'm excited for the people who are excited about it. And it's just too bad that the local teams are not going to be available for it.
It's too bad that DePaul will be not in the tournament. It's too bad that Loyola is unlikely to be in the tournament.
About Northwestern?
Northwestern is not going to make the tournament.
Yeah, they just lost. They were eliminated yesterday.
They lost yesterday. We'll talk about them at the pick six because they're lost to Wisconsin now. Likely ends their season. They could be an NIT team, but the speculation surrounding Chris Collins will continue. But yes, Sunday is Selection Sunday. Everyone will be filling out their brackets and arguing over seeding. And who should be an 8 seed and who shouldn't have been a 5 seed and who should be the number 1 seed. All kinds of fun.
I saw last night on FS1, your guy, Dustin's guy. I don't know where Dustin is, but Mike DeCourcy was on.
Our guy.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Your guy, Dustin's guy.
He's your guy, too. He's part of the show.
That's true. He is the collective our guy
of
the Molly and Haw show.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah, he is good. He's
you
really
know what
good.
I like about him? Because he's still such an accomplished writer as well.
Oh, yeah.
He still writes a lot.
Yeah, and very, very well respected.
Very well respected, good on TV, and he knows everything about the Big Ten. He is a guy that we're lucky to have on during the tournament. We'll probably talk to him on Monday, I think.
It's a useful tool. You're right, because we, you know, because, as you said, because of Bearsdom, we're missing out on a little bit of the minutia that comes with college basketball.
By the way, you took me this direction before we move on. I need to take a moment because it was shocking yesterday and a stunning loss for the college basketball community, the sports writing community. John Feinstein, 69 years old, passes away. John Feinstein, one of the more remarkable, prolific sports writers of our generation, and a guy who attacked every topic, exhaustive research, and just tremendous prose. He's an elegant writer, and he was a dogged reporter, and somebody who you thought was going to write forever. And he wrote the definitive book on Bobby Knight, the one that he's best known for, I think, A Season on the Brink. If you grew up in Indiana, it was required reading. If you were just a college basketball fan, it was the same thing. And if you were a sports writer, you wondered, boy, could I ever be that good?
Really?
Because he was so good, so well-respected, and such a loss. John Feinstein, 69 years old.
Yeah, didn't he write a book about Mike Krzyzewski, too, to chronicling him? And Tiger Woods, right?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, so he was golf and college basketball list. Were the two biggies.
Passion. He was a Duke fan. He was a college basketball junkie, and he loved golf as well. A Long Walk Spoiled, I think it was another one of his books.
Yeah, he made a difference in journalism and writing and radio and television. I mean, he did it all, and he did it all at a high level.
Dustin dealt with him at times throughout his career. He was always a guy that was, on being interviewed for as an expert on something, on everything, because he seemed to know everything about everything.
Yeah.
So it was a tough loss. And fittingly, last word on John Feinstein, on the day that he passes away, he has a byline in the Washington Post, a column on Tom Izzo about how long the Izzo will coach. And it just
What did he say to the answer to that, by the way?
He's still happy.
Tom Izzo is
still happy. I'm not quite sure. He's got to be a contemporary of John Feinstein's, I believe. He's got to be
right
near 70. So, and Tom Izzo, they're likely going to win the Big Ten on Sunday. They'll likely cut down the nets in Indianapolis.
One of the older coaches who has not become disenchanted with the portal and the way college sports are played and paid for these days.
Definitely. Yeah, good old Izzo.
Yeah. He's hanging in there.
And he's got a lot of guys who are, he's probably twice their age, recruiting against.
Yeah, it's got to get harder and harder every year. But yeah, that's why I asked. So good for Tom Izzo.
Yes, RIP to John Feinstein. All right, so back to the stuff that you were involved with yesterday, finally getting to the Bears, because they introduced more players, and Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles were back to finish off their victory lap.
That's the last leg.
Keep going, Ryan. He's running. He's still smiling.
It was funny because I was at Hal's Hall yesterday, and there was this feeling of, because it was a repeat of what they had done the day before. And it's pretty rare when you have general manager and head coach back-to-back days. It felt like, well, another day of work. Here we go. Let's go to work. Take your places. Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles. We got Dayo Odengbo. We've got Drew Dahlman up here to talk. So it was good access again. Another good day. Another good impression made by the Bears' new center, Drew Dahlman, and their new defensive end, Dayo Odengbo.
I'm going to get into some of the things that were said, some of the impressions that you had, and we've got all show for that as well. But there was news after you left Hallis Hall, right around 5:30 yesterday, Olamide Zaccheaus, the wide receiver from the Washington Commanders, 45 catches last year, 3 touchdowns, about 506 yards. He was signed by the Bears, 1-year deal, kind of a prove-it thing. But we talked about the need for a slot receiver. They filled it with Olamide Zaccheaus.
Yeah, it was right at the end. I'm sure you had this experience when you were working on the Take the North podcast with Dan Wiederer. At the very end of the recording of the podcast yesterday, Dan and I were like, well, one more thing you got to look at. Bears probably need to add a wide receiver. We were talking about Keenan Allen. We get off the air. We get off the recording. Olamide Zaccheaus has signed with the Chicago Bears. Going through some of his career, too, 1, 2, 3, 4 years with Atlanta. He was in Philadelphia as well. He had one other year where he had over 500 yards. That was in 2022 for Atlanta. So just to give you an idea of some of the numbers, I mean, this is a third or fourth type of wide receiver on the Bears. Kick returner as a possibility. This is not the end all for the Bears. There will be other bodies that you see that are not on the roster that are wide receivers when the Bears start OTAs in camp.
All anybody wants to know, really, is that can Olamide Zaccheaus be to Ben Johnson's offense in Chicago what Amon-Ra St. Brown was to Ben Johnson's offense in Detroit?
Now, man, if Ben Johnson could make Zaccheaus into that And I guess considering who Ben Johnson is and the credit we've given him, there has to be some of that. Like, Ben Johnson, who can you make better?
I'm just saying.
That's a great point, David. And I'm making the point, too, that all these great players are coming to the Bears. The Bears are doing things right. But then there's the part where Ben Johnson has to develop some of these players and make some of these guys better. And that could – so I'm kind of agreeing with you here that – that is part of his job to now develop some of these players and make players better than maybe they are, because that's what he did in Detroit.
Well, when Amon-Ra St. Brown came to Detroit, he was a fourth-round draft pick. Do you think that people had you ask them that question, a similar version of that question, back when he was a rookie? I think they would have said, "Oh, well, who?
Yeah,
how do you say his name?"
That's a great point. You're probably right.
And then what happened?
Right. Yeah,
he emerged.
He's a star.
He developed, and now he's a star.
And no doubt.
Now he's an envious star on his podcast. He sounds like he wants to be in Chicago.
Seriously, hey man, what's his contract? Did somebody look that up? We'll take a look at that. You know.
So that's the Bears had a big day. Is there anything today? They got anybody else to introduce today?
It's so funny because I woke up today. I'm like, man, do I got to do this whole thing of morning show Bears hit on this? No, as of right now, there is nothing going on at the Bears today. But I will tell you this. Okay. I will tell you this. From 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock tonight, David, on the clock, I'll be talking about the Bears.
Oh, my gosh.
Full hour of Bears talk tonight, 6 to 7, on
Bears.
The clock.
You are going to have a long day.
I know. And then I'm going to see a partial REM at Metro tonight in Chicago. I think there's with some remaining members of I don't know if Michael Stipe is going to be there.
What kind of music are we talking about there?
You know REM.
Yeah, REM. Yeah, but how would you classify?
Alternative rock, I would say.
I just want to make sure I described it accurately.
Yeah. I would say alt rock would be probably the best way to go.
Yeah.
But I don't know. REM's get they're a little different. You know, they're not headbangers or anything. They're not Metallica.
Yeah, long day ahead.
So I do have a long
day
ahead.
I hope you take a nap.
But I will. There will be a really good nap after the show today. I had a good nap after the show yesterday, David.
Excellent.
While you were working out.
You got to learn how to nap. I got my Shamrock Shake, though.
Oh, that looked good.
Did I send you a picture of that, too?
You did send us a picture.
Yes,
since you're the only one. Did everybody else on the show get a Shamrock Shake? I didn't either. Nobody said, hey, Grody, hang around, man.
It's only for, you know, host one position.
Right. I asked for them to keep me one, and they did.
Oh, that's how
Robbie Triano deserves a raise and a pat on the back. Robbie Triano took care of me.
The one who instructed Robbie to save you one.
Thank you, Dustin.
We don't want to upset Haw. Oh, there's Haw. Don't upset him. Make sure he gets his Shamrock Shake.
He's already talking a lot about the rock music this morning.
He's in the H1 chair, host one, host position. Oh,
let's get some of that Shamrock in you. You're not mad, Mr. Haw, are you?
I enjoyed
put a little of that REM. Like, can you shoot a little video on your social?
Oh, absolutely. Are you an REM guy?
I am.
Well, come on out to the Metro tonight. I have no idea if there's tickets, but I'll see if there are, Dustin.
It's a good venue.
I would love to see
you. Cool
did
venue.
You see the interview on 60 Minutes, or was it Sunday morning? I think one of the other.
Oh,
I think it was Sunday morning.
Probably Sunday morning, because I know they featured Pearl Jam on there recently.
Really? So if I know you got a busy day, but if you get a chance, go back. So because I'm surprised, because they talked about Michael Stipe, I think, is the one who wants to be out on the road. The others do not.
Oh, so Stipe's not the one holding them back.
I don't believe so.
Interesting.
If I recall it correctly.
Okay.
Did we just become... What rock station is this?
You know, Dustin and I have been bonding a little bit on music over the last 2 days.
Who do you want to karaoke to later on?
Okay. What floor are we on?
Should we do a little REM?
It's
during the
end of the world as we know it.
And I feel fine.
You guys, listen.
Da, 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 da.
You know, you can go upstairs. You can have an audience there.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Somebody put on Sidewinder. Sidewinder sleeps tonight. Yeah.
Okay. This is going to morph into another music session. That's great. All right. I feel left out I don't know. I don't have an appreciation for REM the way that you guys do.
All right. Get somebody from the country station down here for Haw.
Exactly.
I can sing a little
song if
you want.
All right. Stand by. If you had to sing one song right now, what would it be? What's going through your brain right now?
Oh, right now? With a lot of Morgan Wallen, probably.
Okay.
A lot of Morgan Wallen.
Okay. Oh, here's one. I came in today to the Prudential Building and into the parking center. I get in there. You know, it's a very fragile time, right?
Yeah,
everything's very quiet.
Yeah.
A car comes in behind me banging music. Like, it was on an 11 in somebody's car. I'm like, man.
I know what you're talking about.
What is
I know who you're talking about.
What is this? Yes. Out of the car, pops Mitch Rosen. Yes. Hey, what's up?
Blasting some XRT.
No, it wasn't XRT.
No, not XRT.
It might have been B96.
It was a jams.
Or jams, but it was at a 10.
Yes.
And Mitch is ready to go, man.
He's ready to go.
Oh, he was.
You got to get pumped.
Yeah, I don't know if it was. I think he said it was his Friday tape. So I'd love to see the playlist. I would love to see Mitch Rosen's 3:30 in the morning played at 11 mixtape. Man.
That's how you get going. That's
this place
how,
is something that, that,
that's
in the morning.
I know.
That's how you work the hours that you.
I guess
you,
so.
You have to get prepared mentally.
Yeah. Boy, it would take me some time to get in shape for this.
I
tell you what.
I don't know. I mean, if you want to spend, you're going to stay here for the next few hours, though, right? You don't.
You're not going to
disappear, go to XRT. You're not going out to finish up there.
I'm letting it all out right here on this show. But yeah, if I see some of the XRTians in the hallway being calm.
That's nice. That sounds like a good weekend. I might watch a little hockey. Hey, we got to get to Bedard at some point. I know we're out of time for this segment.
Okay.
We got to get to Bedard because Bedard was given 10 minutes for a penalty. 10 minutes in the final 9 minutes of the game for something he said.
Must have said something.
He's a teenager. What's he going to do? Go back to the locker room and wash his mouth out with soap? he's a kid. What did he say? How bad could it have been? All right, we digress yet again, but we will come back and do the pick six. Mark Grody's in for Mully. It's Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Overall, what stood out about the second day of access at Halas Hall after the Bears introduced Senator Drew Dahlman and D. Lyman Deo?
I think what stood out about the two guys that we heard from yesterday, Deo Adangbo and Drew Dahlman, was that, number one, Drew Dahlman is not going to be the guy who's like the life of the party. He's the brains of the outfit. He's the guy that's going to, hey, settle down, guys, settle down. Hey, he's the adult in the room. He's the center. He's the Stanford man. If he wasn't snapping to Caleb Williams, he'd be sitting in an office in Silicon Valley probably running his own business. This is a guy who seems very bright, cerebral, and somebody you can trust. The ideal center, really. This is a guy who you want, and he fits all of the prototypes for offensive linemen, all of the studies that say these are the guys that make their bed before they leave the home in the morning. These are the guys that clean up after themselves and wash the dishes, right?
Yeah.
Drew Dahlman is the responsible guy in that offensive line full of responsible guys. That came through. He wasn't going to leave you laughing. He was going to leave you smiling. Like, okay, this is in good hands. And Adangbo, I like the way he talked about respect for Dennis Allen's defense and what he can do in moving around and how dangerous he can be. We'll get into some of the questions that he answered from you in the 7 o'clock hour. But I think overall, you felt good about the players and what they had represented. But I felt best about Ben Johnson saying to a response to a question, this isn't supposed to be easy. this is going to be hard. Football's hard.
Yeah.
And I like Ben Johnson reinforcing that.
Yeah, and then he reinforced the get comfortable getting uncomfortable.
Love part, it.
Right?
Love
so,
it.
David, again, as usual, you nailed it. I thought about Dahlman. He's the no-fun guy, and they also depicted him as the quarterback of the offensive line and the importance of the two of them getting together. The other thing, and I mentioned this to Mark in the pre-game fistfight, if we have that, is that Dio, wow, he is a big man. Like, he just, wow, he's big. Like, his head is big, his neck, he's big. Big guy.
He is big. No, you're right.
He's a large
right.
man.
No, and so I needed to see some of that too, for sure, out of Dio Dangbo. Just like to, because, you know, I asked the questions yesterday, and as Haw said, at 7 o'clock, we will play some of the audio, some of the questions that I asked. But I got a few more answers about Odangbo in terms of what he could potentially do. And as you said, David, moving him around on the line and to see this guy, you can understand why Ryan Poles likes him, why scouts like him, why Odangbo thinks he is just getting started. But we'll have more on him a little bit later on. As far as Drew Dahlman is concerned, the humility was great with him because he was asked a question about leadership and are you ready to be a leader? And he basically said, yeah, but I got to earn my way, man. I got to get the respect of the teammates. I got to show them what I'm all about. So while he probably will go in there and lead by example or lead with his voice, he is going to do it with humility. I also love the fact, too, and this came up yesterday as well, that Drew Dahlman has worked with all different types of quarterbacks, including a young quarterback in Michael Penix. He's worked with Kirk Cousins. He's worked with Matt Ryan. He's worked with Marcus Mariota. So this is a guy who can come in and
Matt Ryan.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Isn't that crazy? That
yes,
came,
it is.
It came up yesterday. So I just think, and the fact that this Jonah Jackson, Joe Tooney, Dahlman thing, they're all coming in together and they can figure it out together. And it's not like they're rookies coming together, which always sounds cooler to have the rookie trio or the rookie combo last year in Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, but they don't know what they're doing yet. So this is really heartening to see this group. It was another good day at Halas Hall yesterday.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Now, more Bears. New Bear, Dio, said this about Caleb Williams.
I mean, that's huge. It starts with the quarterback. I mean, like, you can't win in this league without a great quarterback. And, you know, to see his potential, obviously Heisman winner, and what I believe is a trajectory for him, I mean, I wanted to be a part of it. You know, I believe that he's going to be a championship quarterback in this league, and I want to be a part of that journey there.
All right, so the question stands. Who's the bigger lure for free agents, Caleb or Ben Johnson?
Biggest lure is the cash that these guys are getting. But I mean, right?
It's
I
all
mean,
about
that,
the green.
It really is. Okay. It's like, oh, who's the coach? Oh, Ben Johnson. That's cool, man. Yeah, I've been hearing about that guy. He's the Detroit guy, right? Oh, that's awesome.
So all things being equal, though.
Yeah, I got – no, it's a really good question. I am by a hair, I'm going to say the head coach. I'm going to say Ben Johnson at this moment because he's the shiny new thing. He was, and I know Caleb Williams was too, but Ben Johnson, the top coaching guy who seems to have universal respect from players around the league. Players citing what this offense has done. Like, players know. They're not like, oh, this guy, you know, he's taking from another tree. They're like, Ben Johnson is an innovative guy. So by an inch, I think it's Ben Johnson who people look at and say, this is the guy that can make the quarterback better, and that's why Caleb is standing second in line. But I love the question, and I'll go with Ben Johnson barely.
I'll go with Ben Johnson as well, but I think that Caleb is – it's not a walk-off 60-yard field goal against the Packers. It's closer than I think you would think. And I think especially from the defensive side of things, I think we've heard from the defensive guys talking about and praising Caleb Williams. Now you could say, well, they're saying the right thing. But I do believe – I think offensively, though, I think when it was close, Ben Johnson's what got the Bears over the top. The green helps. The dollars, the Benjamins, they help, as Mark pointed out. But I think it's Ben Johnson. But Caleb's in the discussion. No
Very
doubt.
Impressive by Ben Johnson, no doubt about it, once again. But I also look at it this way. If Ben Johnson were the head coach and you had a void at quarterback or somebody that was less impressive, somebody that you didn't feel very sold on, I am not sure that you're going to choose I think you're going to probably try to stay away from that situation if you are a free agent, because everybody in the NFL knows, as several of the new free agents pointed out, you've got to have a quarterback in today's NFL to win. And when you have a rookie quarterback, it helps, or a quarterback on a rookie contract, it helps to know that you're joining a roster that's going to be filling around that guy because he is so special and the projections are so high. So I do think that it's got to be Caleb Williams, because without Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson isn't here. You've got to have the quarterback. They're not going to go to a place just because how persuasive and impressive a head coach may sound. Boy, he's the smartest guy I've ever heard. Yeah, what's my contract? Okay, if your contract terms are and offers are equal, I think you're going to go to the place with the quarterback, even if you're unsure about the head coach, because it's easier to replace a coach than it is a quarterback. And I think that in that context, Caleb Williams may have been the guy who's most responsible for getting these guys to Chicago, because without him, Ben Johnson isn't here. And without Ben Johnson, maybe, you know, maybe it's equal. But all things being equal, Caleb Williams is the guy that's making all of this happen.
It feels like, though, Ben Johnson has wanted to be here in ever. Like, he has wanted to, I don't know how long. So I'm sure Caleb
That's probably a good segment later, Grody, because yeah. I think that this Cub thing and the fandom and the wanting to be here forever is a very romantic notion. But I wonder what that would have been like if Andy Dalton was his quarterback.
Good point.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
That, of course, is the voice of Mark Rohde. More for Mark in just a moment. With no obvious opening day starter named yet, White Sox pitcher Davis Martin made his pitch on the Foul Territory podcast.
I'm going to ask this, and I don't know the answer to this. I just want to hear your answer. Are you the opening day starter?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Have they said anything to you? Because it would be between you, Martin, I guess, and Jonathan Cannon.
Yep.
But have you played – because I know you used to kind of play the days out. You look at a calendar, and it kind of – is that where it lines up?
I don't think so right now, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
We saw with the Yankees, when Cole went down, they're like, well, we can't adjust Max Fried today to get him to be opening day.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to do the counting the other day, and I got confused, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go throw tomorrow and just follow in the routine and see where we stay. It's something that – it's exciting to be that guy. So I think that's – you'd be lying if you said you didn't want it.
What are Davis Martin's chances, and who is the favorite?
I'd let him start. He wants it. He's earned it. You look at the White Sox in camp, and the other options really are harder to justify. Davis Martin's come through a lot, and he is maybe the unlikely guy, but he might create some goodwill. I don't think it should be Martin Perez. He's a veteran, but he's been here 5 minutes, and he's done a lot for the morale of the team by predicting good things and calling them a contender and making you wonder exactly just how optimistic one should sound when you're making these things, saying these things publicly. But I don't know that he's your opening day starter. Jonathan Cannon, let's just face it, he's been bad. Jonathan Cannon has not been good this spring. I think the numbers reflect, you can write it off to Arizona, but if you are Will Venable and you're a manager preaching accountability and wanting to set a standard, and then you turn around and you let the guy who's been knocked around like a batting practice pitcher in spring training be your opening day starter, not sure what message that sends. I would let Davis Martin, who clearly wants the role and clearly would embrace the opportunity, give him the ball. Let him go five and dive on opening day. Davis Martin's my man.
But why was he pitching against the Asian Breeze, an independent team? What was that all about? I'm confused. It's so
the air freshener.
Now starting for the Asian Breeze potpourri. I mean, could I have a job, future as a PA guy? I don't get it. In my best Gene Honda. I'm confused.
Frank Thomas.
Paul Konerko.
So the other part of this, the other part that's confusing, we're talking about confusing, is the White Sox are opening up at home against the team from Anaheim, the Angels. That makes a ton of sense. So the team from Anaheim coming to Chicago in late March to open. Listen, Cannon and Perez and Davis Martin will pitch in some order the first weekend at the rate.
You know, I wanted I wanted it to be Jonathan Cannon, but you're right, David, that like there seems to be some legitimate issues. And I wanted Cannon based on last year. He was one of the promising young pitcher who was back on the staff this year. I'm with you on Perez. I don't necessarily need to see that. Drew Thorpe, you know, that was
not ready yet.
Not ready for.
I don't think he's ready yet.
Okay, but like I'm more interested in those guys though than I am in Davis Martin. And maybe I should be more interested in Davis Martin. It's not like he's old. He's 25 years old.
Jonathan Cannon has 11.25 ERA in spring training.
Okay,
here's the ball for opening day, right, young man. You're right.
And that's a tricky fine line too, Hall. Fine line. In terms of what are we going to take seriously in spring training? And I do take,
something's got to matter.
Well, no, young players, it matters, and coaches, managers will tell you some version of that. A guy like Kyle Tucker, I think Craig Counsell even said something like, he's earned this. He can go 0-20, and I'm not going to be concerned about it. But if PCA is out of whack, then Craig Counsell is going to be concerned. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem with Davis Martin. 4.32 ERA across 50 innings pitched last year for the White Sox. So I guess it's as good as anything. But I am more, like I said, more interested in Jonathan Cannon and Drew Thorpe and even Sean Burke, I guess, to a different degree.
Burksy
is what I'm going to go with. Well, that's Coomer.
When you just asked that question, and I started racking my brain. Off the top of my head, I don't even know.
That's the voice of Tommy Hotovy. You're going to hear his voice before the hour is up live from Japan. According to Bob Nightingale, the Cubs are negotiating with pitcher Lance Lynn. Is that a good idea or a bad idea, and how exactly does Lynn fit?
It's probably a good idea for a while. It's a good idea to try. I think like Lance Lynn, he is at that point in his career when he joins a team, including when he joined the White Sox. It's good at first. There's a little bit of a bump. I don't know that he is somebody that you're going to be depending on. If he was to sign with the Cubs, I can't see him being on the roster by the end of the season. But they do need help at the end of the rotation, with Assad being hurting right now, and a couple of other Jordan Wicks. I don't know if they're interested in him. Matthew Boyd
he's burning at both ends.
Is that?
He could be part of that team that the White Sox were playing.
Yeah, that could be.
From David.
Well, by the way, the entire time I've been talking to this one,
I hope you're watching on Twitch.
He's
by the
been
way.
Giving David me this look of disgust. Okay. Of disgust. Do you hate Lance?
It's not my turn yet.
So you hate Lance Lynn.
I don't hate Lance Lynn.
I'm just saying, like, you're not going to bring Lance Lynn in to be your 1, 2, or 3, but let's to see what he's got. Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
I have been known to hate Lance Lynn. He's pitched for two of the teams that I openly cheer against, and one of those is the Cardinals. We'll leave the other team out for the moment. But I remember when he did sign with the White Sox, and he talked about how the money he was getting was going to buy, I believe he mentioned, ribeye steaks and craft beer. Like, that's what he was going to do. So now, if he was to join the Cubs, maybe the Cubs would pay him in Chicago Cut gift cards and in Yingling, the new official beer of Chicago Cubs Radio.
I don't think
he would be going with the flight. Now, the flight is like Yingling's version of a Mic Ultra. It's a low carb, low calorie.
Everybody needs a little low carb
in
their life.
I think that he is more of a Bud heavy guy, like a full, like he doesn't do the light beers. And and I've had the Yingling. It's very popular.
I'm a fan
of Yingling.
I like
the first time.
Yingling.
The oldest beer.
I like mingling
in our country's history.
Like what?
I like mingling with
Yingling. With Yingling. Yeah.
So maybe Lance Lynn is paid in Chicago Cut gift cards and Yingling.
All right, so some reality needs to be applied here.
Let's get ready for
this. He's 38.
The Drew Dahlman of the panel is now going to answer the question.
3, 2, 1, go. Okay, we get there. You want to start over? Okay,
yeah, I do.
Let's get this down.
Lance Lynn will be 38 years old next month. I know he started 23 games for the Cardinals last year, 7-4. He had a respectable season for a 37-year-old. If you're the Cubs, you have pitching depth in your organization. What every start that Lance Lynn would make, every inning that he would pitch, is one that Ben Brown wouldn't conceivably, or Jordan Wicks, or dare I say, even Cade Horton later in the season.
I don't necessarily
want Lance Lynn taking a roster spot on a team that has designs on 90 victories. Just not interested. This would be his seventh team. if Lance Lynn wants to hang around to earn another major league paycheck so he can afford all the ribeyes and heavy beer that he drinks and eats, fine. But don't be in Chicago. That ship has sailed. You're with the White Sox. See ya.
Well, that's a good question.
That's Ron Coomer. He also a fan of Yingling. Northwestern was eliminated in the Big Ten tournament by the Badgers from Wisconsin. The focus now is shifting, and this one really caught me off guard, and I hope it's not true, but there is speculation linking Chris Collins to the vacant Indiana head coaching job. Collins has defined NU basketball for the last 15 years. What do you think of that possibility?
I think it's a compliment to Chris Collins that he will be on these lists because people view him as a program builder, somebody that would represent their program in a first-class manner, and that as a coach, he gets the most out of his talent. Any program would be lucky to have Chris Collins leading it. That said, I think the list for Indiana will be a long one. They want to restore the glory in Bloomington. They want to find a coach that can lead a program that can win a national title. The expectations are much different in Evanston. He could stay there forever, I think, and they'd be happy to have him. His contract reflects that. If he ends up being somebody that Indiana pursues, I want what's best for Chris Collins. He's earned the benefit of the doubt there. He's done his job quite well, I think, at a tough place to win. I don't know how serious they are about Chris Collins being in the mix. You see his name come up. You address the speculation. He'll do it responsibly. I hope he stays because I hope he stays forever. But I like him in Evanston, but I understand why he would be tempted to at least explore the possibility if, in fact, they're interested.
Right. I mean, does the Chris Collins brand of basketball work at a school that is going to spend more money on basketball? And let's face it, IU's basketball budget is going to be much higher than Northwestern's basketball budget. I would hate to see him leave, too. I agree with you, David. I like him. I am surprised, I guess, reading a little bit more into it, that Northwestern is not going to play any more basketball this year because they simply don't have enough bodies. The team is beat up. They're injured, and they just don't have enough bodies. So that's the other reason why they're not playing. So, I mean, it would probably be good for Chris Collins, I guess, to go. But to the point, like, he could stay there forever, literally. He could have, like, a 30-year run at Northwestern if he wanted to.
He is, in terms of coaching, the new Pat Fitzgerald, as in he's not going to have the same power that Pat Fitzgerald had because it's football, and in this town it was football. But yeah, I mean, Chris Collins, who got into the tournament, you know, several years ago, was on the upswing and then took a dip and got the program back up again. So I give like a ton of credit for withstanding the slump, so to speak. So I just don't know what he wants. I mean, obviously it would suck to lose this Northwestern coach, but I don't know what he values. And I guess I would probably concede to others on this, but just to me, it doesn't feel like the Indiana job. I think any Big Ten job is a good job, but it no longer feels like an elite job. Am I wrong about that, Haw?
Yeah, I
does
think
that
so.
Upset your
not it does not Indiana-ness? Upset me.
Okay,
it doesn't offend
you. Still
my
think that
Hoosier
Indiana is a let's say is Indiana a top five job when Indiana opens? Is that a top five job?
Top 10 job
in college? Okay, but it used to be a top five job.
Yeah,
would you agree with that?
I'm going to think about that.
So, but any Big Ten, I don't want to like the. Take down like this opportunity for Chris Collins, but it's just not the same as what I used to remember it being. So all that said, I hope Chris Collins stays here, and I'm interested in what he actually values in his life.
I've asked this question, you know, a lot, obviously.
That is the voice of Connor Bedard. Which game did you spend more time watching? Bulls, Nets, Bedard, Celebrini, or is that too much hockey for Grody this week?
I actually watched more Brian Scalabrine highlights last night.
Macklin.
Than I did this other
Macklin
guy.
Macklin Celebrini.
That you're talking about here, Mac. Well, I looked at a bunch of zeros by Connor Bedard's name. I looked at, oh, not in the game anymore? I'm not interested. The answer to the question is, I watched the DePaul game more closely than anything last night. I will say, though, I spent an entire half with Chuck and Bill and Alyssa Bergamini last night on the radio. So I listened to the first half in full of the Bulls game, and I was able to trust them. I actually turned on the DePaul game when the overtimes began. That was the point at which I was catching up. And as I said, I felt something for the first time in my life watching DePaul. I felt nervous. I felt that sort of that scared feeling that little boy Mark used to feel watching DePaul games back in the 80s. So it was really nice. It was nice to feel again.
I agree with you. It was nice to feel again. Lots of text messages.
Did you feel that last night, Dustin?
I certainly did. And my daughter was like, geez, Dad. Like, I jumped off the couch. A couple of words you can't say on the radio
she's
were
like,
said.
DePaul?
You know, and she's like, I didn't realize you were so into DePaul. And my daughter was considering Creighton at one point. We took a visit to Creighton.
Oh.
So she was like, kind of leaning towards, she wasn't considering DePaul, but leaning towards Creighton a little bit in that matchup. I'm like, don't do it. You're not going there, so forget it. You're a Flyer. You're a Dayton Flyer. But more the TV remote got a workout last night. There was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on.
I'll admit, I did not get to the end of the Blackhawks game. I still want to get into what this penalty was that had the star of Chicago hockey on the bench for 10 minutes with only 9 minutes to go. I mean, that seems ridiculous because he said something. What did he say? Inquiring minds want to know. Also, shout out Marshall Harris. Nice job on boys basketball last night.
Tremendous
Saint
job.
St. Pat's against the kids from Brother Rice. Rice survive in advance, so they move on to play, I believe, DePaul Prep.
DePaul Prep, that was the second game. That's what I've spent a little time watching. Nice. Are you done with your viewing habits?
Are you done? Are you finished, Dustin?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. So I think DePaul Prep, Marshall Harris, Kenny McReynolds did a great job of calling that game if you're into high school sports. Spent a little time on that. The DePaul basketball left me thinking after that loss, they're going to be in the tournament soon.
Really?
Chris Holtman's
what do you say soon?
Chris Holtman's going to be in charge of a team that is in the NCAA tournament in the next 2 years.
Wow. Okay.
I think this college basketball anymore. You can't wait much longer than that. I did watch the hockey. I did not stay up to see Bedard get in the penalty box. We'll talk about that later because I think it's interesting from a big picture standpoint of why the league seems to be not respecting Connor Bedard. Mm. It seems to be around what happened in Colorado the other night to get him getting pushed around. There's a lot of disrespect going on for Connor Bedard. I did watch the Bulls a little bit because I felt like I was curious about how they would respond. Kobe White continues to fill it up. So a good night. You're right to have a remote control in front of you because you needed to work it often. And I did think I was impressed by Marshall Harris. Play-by-play for a high school game, probably his fourth of the day.
That's awesome. Good for Marshall. Unfortunately, I missed Marshall last night, but he is working his ass off.
He's working hard.
Yeah.
He's working hard. That is a pick six. We have a good question about the Cubs in Japan for our extra point. We'll do that next. Grody's in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
With so much about the Cubs this week, about travel itineraries, Japanese photo ops, is there any concern that baseball is taking a backseat at a time teams usually fine-tune the fundamentals before going a long distance? Will this trip end up being a positive or a negative?
Admittedly, this is the Dustin Rhodes question because I felt a little bit funny, feeling funny about the Cubs trip. I love the way they're having fun and getting the most out of this experience. I also realize it's not like a spring break trip. It's a baseball trip. And usually baseball, around this time in March, 2 weeks before the season, we're concerned about teams having, you know, their pitchers sharp, their hitting strokes on time, fundamentals being stressed. And then if they get off to a bad start, it's like, we should have been sharper in spring training. We're a little sloppy. Are the Cubs going to be sloppy this year? I admit that's a meatball reaction to a trip that is a memorable one for the Cubs. I love seeing all of the pictures and all of the video. I love seeing Justin Turner in a kimono. I love all that stuff. We're talking to Tommy Hottovy in 10 minutes. I'm sure it's going to be like the trip of a lifetime. I hope they're ready for the season. I hope they're ready for the season, and it's more than just this Kizuna that Craig Council talks about. We'll get to that later. The Japanese word for bonding. I hope it's more than just a bonding trip. I want them to be good at baseball when they get back, and they don't lose something by taking a couple days off. I know that's an irrational thought. I get somewhat irrational when it comes to Cubs things, but I do want them to come back and not be like, oh, geez, we let things slide.
They never should have gone to Japan in the first place.
We never took batting practice 2 days in a row.
Man.
If I'm saying the word right.
Yes. Much like me saying words right. TBD, these games count. That's what everybody's got to remember. These games count. The other part, for avid Cub fans, and I like to think I speak for a lot of avid Cub fans, these are two less games at Wrigley Field this year. These are Wrigley Field games. These are Cubs home games in Japan. I don't like games being taken away from Wrigley Field. As long as the Cubs aren't a game short when it gets to playing baseball in Craigtober, if that actually is going to exist, then fine. But you can't come out of there 0-2 and have guys hurt. It looks like they're having a blast. It looks like it's way better than laser tag. The other person I'm going to keep an eye on is Jameson Taillon, because he's over there running around playing Pokemon. And that kind of bothers me a little bit.
You two are going to...
He said baseball first, but Pokemon second.
Yes, thank
okay?
you.
And then, like, I don't need that in print.
I've never felt closer to you, Dustin.
You two, when the Cubs have their first four-game losing streak, the two of you are going to be insufferable. You're going to be Pokemon if they were doing all this Pokemon stuff. This
Pokemon stuff. Just throw a fastball.
I like, just to answer the question, you're probably right. You're probably right on the overall that while fun and they're having fun in Japan, this is not ideal for anybody. I will bet you that when the Cubs were told that they were, they're told they're going to Japan, yeah. right? They don't have any say in it, correct?
I think so.
I'm probably pretty sure that there wasn't anybody in the organization who was like, oh, yay, we get to be the team. I'm sure Craig Council is like, oh, good God, we got to go to Japan to play. There's maybe a few guys who are interested in it.
I don't think he was talking about Kizuna then.
But for the most part, this is a big pain in the butt for everybody. But here's the thing, man.
Okay.
Just don't blow a bunch of saves to start the season.
Okay.
That's really what it comes down to. That's really what it is.
But if they do, what are you going to say? Well, if he wouldn't have gone to maybe Japan.
I'm going
to
say bring back Adbert Alzolay. That's what I'm going to say. Where's Heart Attack Hector? Ryan Presley and Porter Hodge. So, yeah, I mean, but that's just it, though. It's so important that Craig Council specifically gets the Cubs off to a fast start last year and more than 83 wins for the Cubs.
And that's why you feel okay about it, because of the way he's handling these moments. And you feel confident that they won't let this be a reason for a slow start if they have one.
Yes.
There's a lot of confidence in Council.
Yeah, this is a weirdly must-win season for a lottery. For Jed Hoyer's sake, for Craig Council's credibility.
A lot of urgency.
Like, there is urgency.
What's the Japanese word for urgency?
Well, that's a good question, Dustin.
Because I think that's what we want to know.
Wait, Fryer speaks it fluently, doesn't he? No.
Does he? All right. We're going to go to Japan when we come back.
Oh.
We're going to go out to Japan because our guy, Tommy Hadovy, who is a regular on this show every Wednesday morning during the baseball season. I think we're going to do that again. It's so much fun. Tommy Hadovy from Japan. We're going to connect with him when we come back. It's Mully and Haw with Grody in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Kizuna, if I'm saying the word right.
Pitching coach Tommy Hadovy of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hadovy, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. I was a finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was to, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hadovy, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mully and Haw.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hadovy on 670 The Score.
Tommy! Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. Time now to go out to our Turo Tire Hotline. Turo, your hometown tire, Turo.com. Out to Tokyo we go. Tommy Hadovy is a pitching coach for the Cubs, and he joins us now. Good morning, or good Friday night, Tommy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Yes, it's a good evening here on our end, but yeah, good morning to you.
So what has been the best part of the trip so far from your perspective?
I mean, getting to go over and see the Tokyo Dome was really fun. We got to get out there for the first day, like a little bit of a workout, and than today for our team workout and just seeing the fans and the passion that they have, even for a practice, you know, lining up for BP and seeing the team today. But by far, the party that Shota and Saya threw basically the first night we were in, just getting to see such amazing cultural history and the attention to detail that they put together to kind of welcome us to their home, and the pride that you see both him and Saya have to have us, you know, here in their home and them get to host us was truly an amazing night that first night.
That's pretty cool. I mean, because you think of both of those guys as just being very respectful. Both of them are filled with humility. But now, Tommy, they're out there owning the place. They're showing you guys what it's all about. That's got to be pretty cool.
It was. And one of the coolest things, like Shota, the first night we got here, Shota was just like kind of just gushing with excitement and just basically said, "Welcome to my home." And during the party, we had this amazing event, and he brought a food truck with udon noodles to the party. And it's this really fancy party, but he wanted to bring this food truck because he said he grew up on udon noodles and eating from these food trucks. And it was like soul food for him. So he wanted everybody to get to experience it. And it's just the little details like that just show you how much these guys care and wanted to just show us, you know, to what it was like to be part of their culture and where they grew up.
So, Tommy, from what I understand, when you had the workout at the Tokyo Dome, was that open to the public? And whether it was or not, how many Cub fans have you seen there? Is it something, it's not like your typical road trip, obviously, but I just wonder, have you seen firsthand some Cub fans who have made you feel a little bit more welcome?
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. The first day was just kind of a quick, just, you know, show up and play catch and get the body moving. But then today, I say today, you know, for us today, we had a workout that was open to the public, and there was fans that were there from, you know, the minute we showed up, and a lot of Cubs fans, a lot of Cubs jerseys in the stands, a lot of Imanaga jerseys and Seiya Suzuki jerseys. So the Cubs fans are definitely here, and they're definitely, you know, excited to see us play in person. It was a really neat experience to get to do the workout in front of fans and throw kids baseballs and just, you know, interact with a lot of the fans that are here to watch us play.
We were just kicking it around off the air, Tommy, about the breakdown of Cubs Dodgers fans, and we admitted, like, you know, it's because Shohei, it's the Dodgers, the World Series and all that, like, I would think maybe there'll be more Dodgers fans out there, but have you felt a ratio out there in terms of Cubs and Dodgers fans so far at all, Tommy?
It's hard to say. I think these first few days it'll be really interesting when we're playing these exhibition games, you know, what that looks like. There's definitely a lot of Ohtani fans. I can tell you that much. I mean, he's on every billboard. I feel like everywhere you turn, he's got his own, you know, drinks and his own, you know, deodorant and his own, you know, clothing line. It's, you know, he's everywhere, and for good reason. I mean, sure. he's a you know, premium talent, and obviously a marketable person. But no, I feel like the Cubs fans have done a great job showing up and representing, and I'm excited to see what that looks like when the games start.
So, Tommy, we heard a cool clip from Craig Counsell on the Marquee Sports Network talking about a word he used, Kizuna, about the Japanese word for bonding and the value and of what this is to the team in terms of coming together at the beginning of a season. On the other hand, I'm sure from a coaching perspective, you worry about some of the details and technical things that you're used to fine-tuning during the end of spring training before a season begins. How do you balance those two things? Because you're having a memorable trip of a lifetime, and you're also starting an 162-game season where you're typically focusing on fundamentals. And I imagine that's a difficult balance to strike.
Yeah, I think it's a long season. You know, in any way you look at it, there's going to be big points of the year that you feel like you can look back on and say, okay, because of this time, you know, this helped us get through a lot of challenging things. And I think we did such a great job, and our players did such a great job of coming to spring training prepared to work on the things they needed to work on and be ready to hit this challenge that we have in front of us. So, you know, they've afforded the opportunity to take a little bit of a step back in terms of like not getting to work on the field every single day and focus more on this bonding. And one thing that Shota said was the relationship, you know, between all of us, and continue to grow that bond. And it's an amazing experience, and it's one that I know we're going to be able to fall back on in tough times throughout the year. Having gone through, you know, this together, and you get to know your players, your players, your friends, your teammates, your coaches in a different light. It's been fun. It's been fun just to get to even be around the position players on my end, and I don't get to spend as much time with in spring training. You know, we're getting a lot more one-on-one time right now, which is a good, you know, great thing for us to be going through.
That's very cool. Shota Yamanaga obviously will be the starting pitcher for the Cubs. He was terrific last year. He was lights out early in the season, especially. I guess the question is, Tommy, what does he do for an encore? Because it's still obviously very important that Shota Yamanaga is good or great again for you guys this year.
Yeah, you know, Shota's, we all saw it last year. He's got phenomenal stuff. He's an amazing talent. He's incredibly intelligent, student of the game. All the things we heard about when he came over, now he wants to be better. He wants to continue to find ways to be better, and he's never satisfied. That's one thing that I've noticed just being around him, you know, more over this last year, is that he's always trying to find a new edge. He's always trying to find a new way to improve, and whether it's perfecting a certain pitch or adding a pitch to his repertoire, or, you know, cleaning up something in his delivery or his routine, whatever that might be, he's always trying to find a way to grow as a professional and as a person. And so I'm really excited for him to get to unleash some new toys. I think his slider is as good as we saw it all season last year, if not better. And he's really looking forward to unleashing it, you know, in a much higher capacity this year. And then you add in the fact that he continues to want to round out his repertoire in other ways as well. So it's gonna be fun. He knows what his strengths are. He knows what he does really well. And then he's going to continue to showcase what he's been working on over the winter.
All right, Tommy, so which Cub player or coach has been having the most fun on this trip from your perspective, and how does your kimono fit?
Hey, we had what amazing. We had the wives were all wearing the kimonos, you know, the other night at the party. We had these amazing jackets, and it was a great time. We had some coaches going up there and doing like these umbrella twirling, juggling acts. A couple guys helped cut the tuna last night. There's been a lot of stuff going on.
I love it.
It was amazing. But I'll be honest with you, like watching Seiya and Shota, no one's having more fun than those two. No one is. And Seiya today at the workout was stretching next to PCA, and he took PCA's hat off and was showing all the fans the stars on his head, you know. And,
oh, that's so cool.
It really is. No one's having more fun than those guys. And with, you know, but do, you know, they should, you know, they're enjoying it and they're really having a great time.
Bears?
Tommy, do you pay attention to what's going on with your Chiefs? Because they lost Joe Tooney to the Bears.
Joe Tooney's right here.
I don't know if you realize that or not. Not to ruin your trip or anything or put a damper on the fun you're having, but Joe Tooney is a Bear.
Hey, he's going to be a great Bear. You know, I mean, we're obviously going to miss him, you know, in that line. And anybody that protects Patrick Mahomes is a valuable investment. So, you know, you hate to see him go, but I mean, he's from the people that I've talked to around the Chiefs and the guys that had been around there. A lot of them, you know, valued him as the MVP of a lot of what they did over the last few years. Obviously, Mahomes gets a, you know, rightfully MVP, but in terms of like the internal guys and what a guy means to an organization, I know people speak very, very highly of Joe, and he'll be a good Bear, I'm sure.
Only one baseball question from me before we let you go, Tommy. I know, and if you can't address this, I know you'll tell us you can't. But Bob Nightingale had a report that the Cubs are negotiating with Lance Lynn, who will be 38 in May. And I just wonder, from your perspective, is Lance Lynn a pitcher that's got something left in the tank?
You know, I can't speak to that directly. I personally haven't heard, you know, anything on the Lance Lynn front. in terms of Lance in general, obviously he's an uber competitor. We've seen him across the way, you know, with the White Sox, with the Cardinals, with some great teams. And I never count guys out. We have plenty of guys now that are in their late 30s that are at the top of their game, that are pitching really well and playing really well. So, but nothing on my end on that. So, you know, we're obviously over here dialed in on winning some ball games and getting this season started off right.
Well, best of luck in everything next week when the season starts on Tuesday. I hope you have a great weekend with your family and the entire Cubs traveling party. And really, thank you for joining us, because I know that it's probably been a very long day. And, you know, thanks for staying up late on a Friday night to let us know how the trip's been going.
Of course. Anytime, guys. Hope you're doing great. Thank you.
Thanks, Tommy. Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, live from Tokyo. Pretty cool.
Really good stuff. Did I go Bears prematurely there? Was it just a little
bit?
No,
that was good.
It was good timing on my part.
Good timing.
Okay. Yeah,
you got to know. He said about Joe Tooney what everyone said about Joe Tooney.
Great guy.
And from a Chiefs fan, you could hear the disappointment in his voice.
Yes. Did I ever tell you that I was in a workout room in a hotel when I was on the Cubs tour when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, and Tommy Hotovy was on the bike next to me, and he was the one telling me, he was like, this guy's gonna be good.
Really?
He was like, but I think it's like any fan of anything, you make a case, but he was like, look out for this guy. He's like, this guy's good. And I've never forgotten that.
Well,
never
he's pretty that. Good at predicting things about right-handers. He's left-handers.
That's
a
good point. Yes.
He knows guys who throw the ball. He knows what he's looking at.
He understands velocity.
All right, when we come back, we'll go to Bears, because Mark Grody was at Halas Hall on Thursday asking all the tough questions. Some of them we will recount and maybe even grade.
I'm all for it.
All for it. Yeah. Mark Grody's in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.